Okay, so the topic we're talking about now is journeying for others. So that first night you started with journeying for yourself. And we use Honsha Zeishonin as a method to go to a location. In this case tonight, you can make a different decision than this, but I was just going to guide you all over to the river of life and do your journey from there. At some point, you'll just travel where you decide you want to go. Tonight, I'm going to guide you there just to make things more simple. But you'll just journey to where you decide works for you the best. So in journeying for others, you are going to, before you do that, you're going to probably discern something about what they are interested in. You know, what are they asking about? What is their intention? Tonight, we're going to work with the question of your next step. So you guys will be journeying for each other on the other person's next step. There's some really big things to think about with journeying for others, and one is discernment and what you share and what you choose not to share. You are never responsible to share anything you don't want to share. Because what this is doing is opening your intuition into perceiving into somebody else's spiritual field. And I've always asked not to be shown anything that someone doesn't want me to see, and to have natural discernment about what I share, what's appropriate, and when I am doing this, because it's not always appropriate to journey for someone else or go into perception of someone else. It is definitely a scope of practice thing that you're doing. So, like I say, I don't do this when I'm in Reiki circle. And the reason that I don't do it is because the people who are coming to Reiki circle don't know that that's what they would be coming for. In my office, it's what I do entirely. That's what people come to me for. That's what Robin was talking about. I want to know how you do what you do. And so discernment is a major part of it. And so you're always listening for discernment. And as Robin said, you have that, you get to where you're really good at telling when you are in divine listening and when you're in your own head, when you're in the way. A lot of times that's noticeable to me when I start having opinions or when I start relating, like, oh yeah, this happened to me too, kind of a thought, like, oh, I relate to this, it relates to me this way. So those are a couple of flags for me that I need to back up more. Take a deep breath of listening, moving into that deeper place of listening. The symbols that will really help you do that are Seheki and Honsha Zeishonin. Honsha Zeishonin is a bridge of light into the light. So that symbol can help you personally go deeper into self, which is where these perceptions are going to come from. Seheki is the translator, and Seheki is powerful discernment. Seheki meaning the mental emotional symbol. It is discernment. So those two symbols really help you with this. All the other symbols support it, but these two are very specific. For those of you that just took Karuna, Reiki, Nosa would fall into this category, and also Iava. would fit well into to this category of discernment, listening, and really developing the skill about your accuracy in your listening and your sharing. What I did when I was practicing this was practicing with people who knew that about me, that I was practicing, that I could practice with friends. You guys could practice distance journeying with each other where you know, okay, I'm going to be practicing this with you, and so my discernment might be all over the place, or my how it's coming through for me might be all over the place. And so then you start to learn your accuracy because, of course, you get validation from people, and that's helpful. You also get to the point of knowing when and what you decide is appropriate to share as well. So the first step is in talking with your client or talking with the person that you're journeying for. You can do this in person. You can also do this distance. So when we do our follow-up call for this class in a couple of weeks, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it distance. So you get the practice with that too. Again, you guys are going to have each other's roster. In fact, we'll remember to always put the roster in every follow-up so that you have the roster and you can reach out to each other and, hey, you want to practice? Or, boy, I could use this, and you could have the whole group. You could even put it on Facebook and say, hey, can you guys journey for me on this? So the way that typically works is you usually have somewhat of an interview process before you start. It would be uncommon for you to just go in and say, oh, I'll see what I see, although that happens too. But it's more effective, of course, to have some idea about what they want you to journey for. So typically, in a session, two things are happening. People are letting go of what no longer serves them, and they're bringing in what they want to have happen in their life. So your questions in the interview can always be around those two subjects. Often, I will ask people, what do you want to let go of today? I can be in a whole interview process and still it always comes back to that question. What do you want to let go of today? And you'll be amazed at how that makes people think. Because all of a sudden they have to stop and go, oh, what do I want to let go of? You can always also let people know they can have a really long list, because usually what you'll see is somehow that list is correlated. You'll see similarities. There's things that go together in it. The other thing that you want to do is the second question that you're going to ask is, and what would you like to bring into your life today? So in almost every session, you can ask those two questions, and they are the appropriate two questions to ask that will also engage people in really thinking about what their answer is to you. So then when you're in the session, you're listening around what they said about those two questions. What are they letting go of? And how is Reiki itself assisting them in letting go? What's the energy doing? Because we know that Reiki will go back all the way to the original cause. It could show up in another lifetime. It could show up from something in this lifetime. And typically, I'm not getting specifics. Like, at 3 years old, this happened, and then this happened, and this happened. My work used to come in that way, and then I found out that that wasn't really as important. The details weren't as important as the big picture. So what are you letting go of will reveal something, a bigger picture. And then what do you want to bring in? Often what that does is reveals that true self inside that is about what they want to bring in. Well, here's the qualities you have. This is what's happening in your life that will actually bring these these things you're asking for in. So today, what I want you guys to do is we're going to have an interview process. You're going to be on the tables, and then you'll talk to each other afterwards about what you got. None of it is about, you know, are you really psychic and can you get all the answers for somebody else? It's really a different energy than that. It's about perceiving. And, you know, your perceptions can change day to day and client to client. And a lot of times that's also based on the client as well. So we're going to do an interview process, and I'm going to have you focus your questions around each other's next step. So, you know, what do you want to let go of that's in the way of your next step? What do you want to bring in that can help you manifest your next step? And your client may not know those answers, because that's usually what you guys are looking for. But I want you to go ahead and focus on your next step for each other. And so you can ask those two questions, or you can ask them however. If you already have skill in this area, or it comes through from you in a different way than what I've just described, you go ahead and bring that in. After the session, when you talk with each other, as the practitioner, I want you to be really in a state of listening. How am I going to share this? What do I share? And do I even want to share it? Always remember, you're never responsible for to share something you don't want to share. And even if you think it's something that they really need to know, I just believe Reiki will help someone find out what they need to know. let me think, there was something else that was floating right as I said that.
So what kind of things wouldn't you say?
Deeply personal things. I think it, you know it when you have it show up. I think you would know if something was really harsh for them to hear, or may make them relive the experience, or be embarrassing, or revealing more than they're ready to be revealed. The other aspect of this too is remembering we are always staying in the scope of our practice. So let's say you start getting medical intuitions. That would be something that, unless you have that licensing, or unless you have that training and you are really aware of your skill level, that you would not bring in medical intuitive things, or diagnostics, or mental health diagnostics, unless that is what you are already trained in. So discernment is a big piece of it, and that's why we're starting that practice and doing it here, where you can do that with each other, where it's okay to do it. So afterwards, you'll go ahead and have a discussion with each other, and we are going to time everything, just because these can be very long. And you'll have a discussion with each other, and then we'll switch. And the next person will become, the client will become the practitioner, and then you'll do the interview process and the same questions. But also, I want you to allow yourself to listen for the questions. In my interviews with people, I never know the questions that I'm going to ask. They are always given to me. I hear myself asking the questions as I'm saying them. Aside from those two, where those I know deliberately, I'm going to ask, what are you letting go of? What do you want to let go of today? And what do you want to bring in today? All the other questions that come through in a session are always, I'm always hearing them as I'm saying them. They're not a pre-set list or something. I think, oh, I know I'll ask this person. Also, they're really not based on my own curiosity. So as soon as I know it's me being curious and I'm just thinking, oh, I would really like to know the answer to that, then I know to back up again, go back into another level of listening, and then bring that, you know, rethink the what I'm thinking. Lots of times I'll just stop and say, you know, let me close my eyes for a minute and listen more deeply. And I will easily just, you know, have us moving into silence and going to go into deeper listening. Okay? So let's go ahead and break up into pairs. And again, your question is going to be around for the interview is going to be around your partner's next step. And if you want, you can use the two questions of what do you want to let go of today and what do you want to bring in today. And then those two questions may lead you to additional questions that you hear yourself thinking, oh, I'm gonna bring that question in. Then you're going to get on the tables, and you guys may do that at a variety of times. So go ahead and, you know, get onto the tables and start however you start. You guys all know how to start your sessions. And then we'll work for a length of time. I will let you know when to finish up. You'll go ahead and talk with each other. Robin and I will come around and, you know, talk with you. And then we'll switch and do the same thing. Okay? Very good? Okay. Okay. So it looks like you too? Okay. So let's go ahead then and organize yourselves so you're sitting comfortably. Starting with your questions.